Some people have what is known as a life verse. I have many verses of scripture that I found have touched my life, but one of them is in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I've held on to that verse ever since I was a teenager and found it to be very, very valuable. In certain situations, all of a sudden, Lord, I can't do this. And then I remember the verse that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise be to God. Well, we know that today is Pentecost Sunday. A great theologian by the name of Stephen Olford, he was a great pastor, a great theologian, and evangelist, he said these words, "The shameful negligence of the person and work of the Holy Spirit is the great sin of the Christian church and a greater sin of the average believer." How true that is neglecting the work of God's Holy Spirit. One cannot help in reading the book of Acts but to see how God's Spirit infused the people, the believers who were there, and how as every day, week, month, and year went on, they relied upon God's Holy Spirit to complete the work that he had for them to do. This morning we're going to read something about this in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 15 to 18. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 1068, but the words will also be on the screen. So let us hear the word of God. Our Lord Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Redeemer and our Savior. This morning, the Lord willing, I'd like us to take a look at the announcement of the promise, the fulfillment of the promise, and the enjoyment of the promise. This is the promise of Christ sending the Holy Spirit. The announcement of his promise, we read these words. This is what John says, speaking the words of Jesus or writing them. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you," note these words, "forever." Another counselor to be with you, believers, forever. And then Luke records Jesus saying, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised." This we know. The disciples were in the process of learning, and we know it, they were in the process of learning that shortly after our blessed Lord ascended on high, that he was going to send the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to come with them. There are four words that I'd like us to try and remember this morning about the Holy Spirit's work in your life and in mine, beginning with the disciples, but then all the way down through every believer until where we are today. Just before we look at those four words, non-believers do not know what the Holy Spirit is. Non-believers do not have the Holy Spirit living within them. Believers do. Now, mind you, when you are a non-believer, an unbeliever, the Holy Spirit will often knock at the door of your heart to say, now is the time for you to accept Jesus as Savior. That's the extent to which the Holy Spirit works in the life of a non-believer. They don't even realize it is the Holy Spirit. But for believers, on the other hand, the Holy Spirit is with us. And these are the words I'd like us to remember. He is a residing comforter, a revealing comforter, a reminding comforter, and a reproving comforter. Look at those four words, residing, revealing, reminding, reproving. God's Holy Spirit at work in your life and in mine. The Holy Spirit is a residing comforter. Residing means living within. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." To be with you forever. In verse 17, it says, "The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him but it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, listen to this, for he lives with you and will be in you. He, the Holy Spirit, lives with every believer and is living in every believer. Here's an interesting distinction. In the Old Testament, we often see the work of God's Holy Spirit. We see this in the very opening of the book of Genesis. We see where the Spirit descended upon certain individuals throughout the Old Testament. It seems as though the Holy Spirit came upon these until their particular ministry at that time was concluded, and then the Holy Spirit was not with them anymore. We know the Holy Spirit was upon Moses and upon Joshua, and we know also that he was on Samson. He came upon Samson, and then Samson disobeyed. The Holy Spirit left. And then later, when the time came, was right, the Holy Spirit came upon him again. The Holy Spirit was on King David. The Holy Spirit was on the prophets of old. The Holy Spirit came upon these individuals while they completed a particular ministry. But in the New Testament, there's a difference. The Holy Spirit now comes to indwell, live with every believer. Every person who has put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit has come to reside within that person. This is the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is a word, Greek word, I believe, that means 50, and it can be 5 or 50, depending. In the United States, they have the center of military action called the Pentagon, and it's a five-sided thing, not five-sided, five individual sections. And then there's a pentagram, a five-sided drawing that you make. But this is Pentecost, and it stands for 50. And you might say 50 after what or before what? It's 50 days after Easter, the Holy Spirit came. Jesus rose again. We know that. He lived, was crucified, died. He was buried. He rose again. And then at a later time, he ascended on high, 40 days later. And then 10 days later, after he went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit upon every believer. When Pastor Nate was reading that passage this morning about the Holy Spirit coming upon the people, I was thinking, oh Lord, I know the Holy Spirit is within us now, and he's among us. But wouldn't it be marvelous if God's Holy Spirit just descended upon us? Whether there were tongues of fire or not, doesn't matter. If the Holy Spirit came upon us, I've often had this thought, dream, maybe it was a vision, I don't know, of God's Holy Spirit coming from this side of the congregation and going through the other. And every illness that we would have would be healed at that point. That would be a praise God item. And incidentally, while I think of it, we never refer to the Holy Spirit as it. We always refer to the Holy Spirit as he. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct personalities in one, in a way we don't fully understand, but nonetheless, the Holy Spirit is not in it, the Holy Spirit is he. So we see this, he is a residing comforter. So if you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, put all your trust in him, then the Holy Spirit is resident with you even at this moment and will be. He is from the day you accepted him and will be until the day he calls you home. He's a residing comforter. He's also a revealing comforter. John records in three separate verses these words, when the Counselor, Comforter, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, he will teach you all things. He will testify about me. He will guide you to all truth. And he will bring glory to me. Now, there are some very important words in those words. We see the words teach, testify, guide, bring, and is to bring and ensure that all glory goes to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals the very nature of Christ to every believer. The Holy Spirit is at work and alive and active and well in your life and in mine. The Holy Spirit is a residing comforter. He dwells within. He is a revealing comforter. He brings to mind words that we need to say, particularly to other believers or to those who are not believers. We will receive the right words at the right time to talk to others about Jesus, who he is, and what he's done. He's also a reminding counselor or comforter, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, he's talking to the disciples, talking to the people who were there. And he says, the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I have told you. Now, the disciples, his close followers, were human just like the rest of us. And there are things that we remember and things that we forget. The Holy Spirit's job, it was to remind them of all that Jesus had taught. You and I read through the Word of God. And as we're reading, particularly in the New Testament, we see who Jesus is, what he accomplished, what he did, what he's going to do. But sometimes we may be inclined to forget what that particular passage was. We rely upon God's residing Holy Spirit to bring this to our mind so that we'll remember all that Jesus taught. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. In Jesus is all truth. So everything in Scripture that we read about Jesus is absolute truth. He will bring his word to our mind. We are told by those who seriously study human life and study the mind that everything comes into us through our conscious mind. And then at some point it ends up into our subconscious. And subconsciously, we sometimes do not remember what is in there, but it is there. It's amazing sometimes what our brain will remember. Maybe it's a particular aroma we'll smell, and all of a sudden we remember. Just recently, Linda and I were returning from somewhere, I don't even know where it was, but someone was burning their grass, and I could smell the grass being burned. And immediately, my mind went back to my childhood days when in our little place where we lived outside of the city of Halifax at the time, and it was all right to burn your grass. And so that's the way in which we did it. But it brought back a mind. It's amazing what is in our subconscious. That's what the human mind does. But it is the Holy Spirit residing in you and reminding you of what you know in your subconscious. And he will bring it to the point of remembrance when we need it. So that's a praise God item. Many years ago, a great evangelist by the name of Charles Finney, in those days he had freedom to go around. There's not so much free that way today. But he went into a factory. And when he went into the factory, the purpose was to share the good news. And when he got along the assembly line, there was one lady who was there on the assembly line, and she looked at him and said something that wasn't very positive. In fact, it was a very negative and shameful statement. So he just stood there, and he looked at her, and he looked at her, and he looked at her. And finally, she got so nervous, she couldn't thread the needle. Now, here's an amazing thing. Something was happening. The Holy Spirit was at work. This may not happen today, but it happened then. The owner of the factory came out and said, stop the mill, and let the people attend to religion, for it is more important that our souls should be saved than that this factory should run. More important that our souls should be saved than that the factory should run. I don't think we'd see that happening today, but it is possible. You never know what little item of witness will be that will reach another person. Years ago, when I attended Fallingbrook Heights Baptist Church in Toronto, there was a lady in that church, and she was the prime secretary to the owner of one of the great newspapers in Toronto. And she, her desk was immediately outside of his office, and she used to put a Bible on the corner of her desk. Didn't necessarily open it and read it, but put the Bible there as a testimony. And people would go in and out to the owner's office, and they'd see the Bible. And oftentimes they would ask and say, is that a Bible? And she said, yes. And she would take that moment to give a little bit of witness about the Bible being the Word of God and her rule for life. A little thing that can be done to touch the lives of others. It's the Holy Spirit who is residing. He is revealing. He is a reminding comforter. And he is a reproving Comforter. We read these words, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he, the Holy Spirit, will convict or reprove the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit knows that everybody sins. The Holy Spirit knows that there's a difference between living a life of sin and a life of righteousness. And the Holy Spirit knows that there is a day of judgment coming. The book of Hebrews says it is appointed unto man to die once, and after that, the judgment. Judgment will always come. In a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught that Christians are to be light in this world and salt in this world. We are to share the light of Jesus with others. We are to add the spice to their life, which is the salt, which touches the lives of others. And we cannot do that on our own. We can only do it when we recognize that the Holy Spirit is alive, active, and well, indwelling us and wants to direct us in everything that we do. That's what happened when Charles Finney visited the factory. It was the Holy Spirit at work in him and in that lady. She didn't realize it, but that's what was happening. And in the owner, who said, we need to hear about religion, need to hear about the love of God. And in all of this, we learn about the announcement of the promise. That was Jesus making that announcement. And then there was the fulfillment of the promise, and that happened on Pentecost Day. Pentecost is a subject for another day, but Pentecost was in the Old Testament as well as the New. The Jews celebrated Pentecost. It was when Moses and the 70 elders went up on the mountain, and they ultimately received the word of God. Kind of interesting. On that day, 3,000 souls were lost. But on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were won. What a contrast. The Jews celebrate Pentecost even today. And they begin by staying up all night long and reading God's word and greeting the next day. Really amazing when we think about it. But as I said, that's time for a story for another day. And what did we learn? We learned this. There was an immediate fulfillment of the promise. An immediate fulfillment of the promise. The coming of the Holy Spirit put an end almost instantaneously to any false divisions which may have existed between the bond and free, between black and white, between male and female, between Jew and Gentile. The Holy Spirit came upon all who were there, all who were there. And this is a reminder that the Holy Spirit came in great power. I'll have more to say about that in just a moment. He came, the Holy Spirit, he came then, he comes now, he's in your life now, in the life of every believer to equip us to do his work. Not only was there an immediate fulfillment, but there's going to be a magnificent ultimate fulfillment. Theologians the world over and believers the world over are anxiously awaiting the fulfillment of the coming of Jesus with the Holy Spirit to this earth to establish his kingdom. First of all, he's going to come in the clouds to take his true believers to be up with him and live with him for 7 years in heaven while all hell is breaking loose here on earth. We will be with him. This fulfillment is coming. I believe it could well happen in our lifetime. You hear me say it over and over again. I say it because I want us to be alert. I want us to be look forward to that time, not with dread, not with fear. God doesn't give us all this to cause fear or dread in our life. He gives it to prepare us for what's coming. And it's coming, and what a glorious day it's going to be. Between now and then, you and I can appreciate the enjoyment of the promise. There was the announcement, the fulfillment, and now for you and for me, the enjoyment of the promise. Dr. Luke in Acts 1 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The disciples may not have known what the ends of the earth were at that time. They may have thought it was just around the Mediterranean. However, we know the ends of the earth included where we are today. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when I think of these words, this word power, I don't think of me having power over you or you having power over me. But what I think about is two things, the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the scripture, there are nine fruit of the Spirit, and every believer has all that fruit, love, joy, peace, etc. We have that, and patience is in there, just a reminder, patience is in that fruit. And we all have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there are some 18 specific gifts mentioned in scripture. Every believer has all the fruit of the Spirit, but every believer doesn't have all of the gifts of the Spirit. We may have one or more gifts, but not many, many gifts. But you or I have at least one gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. I believe it is a supernatural, Holy Spirit-given gift that is given to you and to me at our moment of conversion, whenever that is. Now, that gift may be brand new, or it may be an enhancement of the abilities, the skills, the experiences that you already have, the talent you have. It may be increasing that. I get so sad when there are people who have an obvious gift given to them and they never use it for the glory of God. They may use it for themselves, they may use it for the glory of others, for the goodwill of others, and not use it for God's glory. Friends, if you have a gift given to you by God's Holy Spirit, and it could be any one of many, maybe you have two gifts, then use them for God's work. Use them in reaching out to the congregation of people, to fellow believers. Use it to reach out to unbelievers. Do something to show God's love operating within you. It is the Lord's work, and we all need to do it. Now, keep this in mind. We receive gifts from God Almighty. We receive God's gift of creation. We receive God's gift of salvation. Remember this, salvation can't be earned. It is a gift. God has paid for it. Jesus has paid for it. And he has it there for each of us. And all we need to do is reach out in faith and receive that gift. We have God's gift of creation, God's gift of salvation, God's gift of the Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit gives one or more gifts and all of the fruit of the Spirit to each of us. Then Jesus said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, believe it or not, every believer in this building today has the Holy Spirit resident within. A good prayer for each of us, each and every day, is, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today, even to the point of overflowing. What did Jesus say? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you do not feel the Holy Spirit is alive and well and active within you, ask God to show the Spirit's work within you. When we ask God, God hears and God answers. When all is said and done, the conditions for receiving the power of the Holy Spirit include our obedience, our yieldedness, and our prayerfulness, you and me, followers of Jesus. This morning we have seen what is meant by the promise of the Spirit. Let us, when I say us, I mean you and me, let us make sure that having heard the announcement of the promise, having seen the fulfillment of the promise, and then that we are able to enjoy the fulfillment of the promise. Now, I was originally going to conclude at that point, but this week I happened to be online and I saw an article that came up, and it was about the life of Laurie Ten Boom. Corey Ten Boom. Corey Ten Boom, she died in 1983, the very year that we came to Campbellford. However, she was at a very large evangelistic meeting, and when she was there, she stood up to speak. A lot happened before, then she was going to speak, and then a lot happened after that. And what she said was this, I want you to make sure that you have received the Holy Spirit. And then she had in her hand a glove. And she said, this glove can do absolutely nothing on its own. It's fragile. It's loose. It could do nothing. But When you put your hand in it, then it is amazing what the glove can do. It operates fingers. Now, if you just take your fingers out and just do your fist, it's not very active. It doesn't do very much. But when the fingers are in, then it has your hand has control over the glove. In the same way, she said, the Holy Spirit has control over your life. You allow God's Spirit to enter your body completely, your heart, your soul, your mind, everything about you. You ask God's Holy Spirit to enter and to permeate and to live and be in it. And then the Holy Spirit will then set about to control you like the hand can control the glove. I thought that was an excellent illustration. And then, interesting enough, this morning I opened up the Decision magazine, and as I was looking at it, whose picture was at the back but Billy Graham and Corrie ten Boom. Wonderful story, confirmed yet again. And then there's one other item that I want to conclude with today, and I'm going to share with us a verse that everybody, every believer knows, but I want to read the two verses following it as well. Now hear this. This is the Holy Spirit, through my voice, through the word of God, speaking to us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's a magnificent statement. Now listen to what else is said. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So if you put all your trust in Jesus as God's Son, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do, then you have eternal life. If you have not done so, you are condemned. Those who are believers are not condemned. Our sin is not held against us anymore. But if we haven't given our life to Jesus, then we are condemned. And the only solution to that is stop ruling your own life. Give your life to Jesus. Put your trust in him, and he will lead you. His Holy Spirit will enter. There may even be someone today who has never accepted Christ as Savior, and you do so today, and at that moment, God's Spirit will come and indwell you, leading you from that moment on. Before we sing our final hymn, let me pray. Father, if there are any among us today that need to pray this prayer, then I humbly ask that your Spirit will convict them of their sin, convince them to pray. Here's the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that before you, as a righteous God, I am a sinner. There is no way that I can enter heaven. There is no way I can be in your glory. But I know you paid the price on the cross. You died for my sin. Yes, I know, the sin of the whole world, but my sin you died for, past, present, and future. And I thank you. Lord, forgive me for all my sin. I now look to you as my Savior. I specifically invite you to come into my life, that your Holy Spirit will indwell me now and forever, and I will follow him and do what he wants me to do for your sake. Hear my prayer, O Lord. I thank you in your name. Amen.